Let the church say amen. Won't it be wonderful there? That gives us something to look forward to, because everything is not always wonderful here. So we look forward to going there where everything will be wonderful, where we'll be able to sing praises not only to the Lord, but not only for the Lord, but to the Lord as well. So let us make our ways righteous that we may wind up in that place. This morning, before we go too much farther, I want to just announce this. Please stop by and give Sylvia a pat on the back. Sylvia, or a hug. Sylvia lost her stepson, her godson, who was killed on last week. And Sylvia is sad this morning, so let us take a few moments to embrace Sylvia. And to anyone else who might be suffering the pains of death of a loved one this morning, let us take time to render due diligence to that person. To all of those of you who are out, we're glad to see you this morning. We're so glad that you are here with us, and we hope for none other than to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And this morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us, O Lord. You have given us another opportunity to serve Thee. We thank you this morning for this opportunity, and we pray and ask you, O Heavenly Father, that you may continue to bless us as you see fit. We thank you this morning that our lives have been lengthened out, that we may be able to be here this morning. We thank you for all of those who are here in the audience this morning. We thank you for those who may be on their way and pray for their safety in getting here. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation. And we pray and ask you, Heavenly Father, that if it be thy will, you would bless not only them, but their families as well. Father, we pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, that you may give unto them and their families also your blessings, that they may continue to serve thee. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the parents who are raising their children. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who might be sick this morning and ask blessings upon them. We pray again, O Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones. We pray in particular this morning for Sylvia, Sister Little. We just pray, O Heavenly Father, that your will might be done, and we know that it shall always be done. We thank you this morning, Father, for this glorious morning that you have given us. With the sun shining bright, we thank you, O Lord. Father, we thank you even if the sun was not shining bright. We thank you just the same. We thank you this morning, Father, because you have left us here and given us this opportunity again. We thank you, Father, for those days that may be coming before us, that they might be well and that we might be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. We pray and thank you, Father, that these services that we are about to enter into may be found favorable in thy sight as well. We thank you this morning, Father, for those who might be traveling, that they may have safe passage, and that they may return once again to be with us. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who make decisions about our daily lives, those in the political offices, both local, state, and federal. We pray that they may not make any laws that would hinder us from serving Thee, worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for our parents, our children, and all of those who have influenced our lives, O Lord. And we pray that we continue to be soldiers for the cross. Thank you for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of the one who went up Calvary's hill, hung on yonder's cross, that we may have an opportunity to the tree of life. We ask these and all other blessings this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 7th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 7th chapter, starting with verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. This morning, for a little while, we want to talk about come with all thy house. Come with all thy house. In today's world and times, there's a lot different than yesterday. And the age has gone by. God's word has not changed. His ways have not changed. And most of all, neither has He changed. So that leaves the changes up on us. And unfortunately, many of these changes have not been for the right reasons. In today's text, we find Noah and his family being called upon and invited into the safety of the ark. Today, God is still looking out and calling all into safety. Let us look today at the ark of yesterday and the need for all to come to Christ today, that we too might find safety and shelter. This morning, we're going to talk once again about come with all thy house. The first thing I want us to notice is Jesus should remind us of the ark. Jesus should remind us of the ark. Jesus was sent by God to bring salvation to a dying world. He sent Him according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23, being interpreted, God with us. God sent Him because He loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. He loved us, so He sent Jesus as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, according to the NIV version of the Bible. That God sacrificed His Son for us because He loved us. And you know, sometimes love has a way of kind of changing us. The way we are, the way we do things, the way we view life. But that's not the kind of love that changed God's mind. That's the kind of love between husband and wife, or male and female. God loved us enough to send His only Son into a dying and a sinful world because He loved us, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Only God could implement His plan and carry out His master plan. Only God could have pulled this off the way that He pulled it off. Only God can take care of us the way we take care of ourselves. Better than we take care of ourselves. He intended it to be what He planned it to be. To seek and save the lost. According to Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Man's plan doesn't always work out. But God does. And it always does. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 10? The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and might have it to the fullest. A thief comes with no good intentions, but God came with every good intentions to save us and to give us a life everlasting. You know, I think about how good God really was unto us. And I think how impossible it would have been for us to take care of us. So we needed a Savior to take care of us. We needed someone with more power, more grace, and more love than we had. Because obviously we didn't love each other, because according to the Bible, the world, man was continuously evil, according to the Old Testament. So it is well for us that are in Christ to continue to follow Christ, so that we may not be carried away from the flock. God's plan was for Christ to give life to His sheep. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, there you'll notice what the Bible said. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Lord found righteousness in Noah, and He decided He was going to save Noah. Well, I believe that in terms of the world in which we live today, it would be hard pressed for the Lord to find righteousness in who He looks at today. Oh yeah, there are righteous people. Don't think I'm saying that there are no righteous people. But God looked down and He saw and He pulled Noah out, Noah and his family, and He said, I have seen righteous before me in this generation. I think something is being said there that we need to understand a little deeper. In all the world, He could only find these few people, these people that God pulled out and commanded to enter into the ark for safety. And you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 7, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of things of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know something, church? If you say, I believe in the Lord, but you don't have faith, that's not good. You've got to have faith in order to please God. That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you think about it, when you look back and when you see what the Lord said, He said, I've seen nothing but man being so evil, but I found righteousness in you and your generation. In one point in the Bible, and it says that it repented him that he had made man on earth. That's in Genesis chapter 6. Do you know that's a powerful statement that the Bible made? God looked down on the earth and it made him sick or made him angry that he had even made mankind. So the Bible says it repented that he had made man on earth. So he told Noah he was going to destroy the world. But according to the Bible, he saw righteousness before Noah. So he gave Noah a verbal blueprint on what he was to do and how to do what he wanted him to do. And that was to build an ark to save him and his family. Just as Christ came to save all of us, God saved Noah and his family. Now the ark looks or pictures Jesus, if you will, in design. Just as the ark provided safety for Noah and his family, Christ is designed for safety for us and those who care to love Him, those who would love Him. Starting in John verse chapter 3, around verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then in verse number 15, He said that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here Jesus Himself is speaking of his design for coming into the world, which included Him dying on yonder's cross, so that all men might have the opportunity to everlasting life. After this, that our present life is over. And make no mistake about it, this present life will end one day. And as much as we dislike thinking about death, much as we hate thinking of I'm going to die one day, I'm here to tell you we all are. We're all going to die. We're all going to die and we must prepare for our death. The intent and design of the ark was sanctioned of God. Jesus came to the earth in human form that men may believe on Him. In John chapter 3 in the verses number 36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The ark was built with only one door, And how many Saviors do we have? Just one, and that's Jesus Christ. We come to Jesus through baptism. Moses went through the flood, but God saved he and his house. It's the only way to get into Christ is be baptized. John chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mark 16 and 16 say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you must be baptized if you want to be saved. You must be baptized if you want to get into Christ. The only way Noah and his family were saved from the flood was through his obedience, his faith, and his trust in God. The only way for us to be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is no other. And I may as well tell you, there is no A and B option. You only have one choice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. God instructed Noah to put a window above the door in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 16. If you look at Genesis 6 and 16, the Bible says, a window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof. With lower second and third stories shall thou make it. Jesus is our light today. He said in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but thou shall have the light of life. You see, don't you see how the picture of the ark and Jesus looked like the same thing? Safety. In the ark, it was Noah's and his family's safety. Jesus is our safety today. And I tell you something, church. When you think about it, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a safety net? Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus is there for us? But sometimes, I think we take Jesus for granted. And I'm not saying anybody here, but I believe that we just take for granted that, well, I'm going to be blessed no matter how I act. I'm going to be blessed no matter what I do. All I need to do is go back to Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness of my trespasses. I'm going to tell you something. That does wear thin. Even iron and metal wear out, does it not? One day you may not have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. So you ought to try to live right. And I'm not saying everybody has got to be so righteous that they don't ever do any wrong, because none of us are going to be that, none of us are that perfect. But we've got to learn to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when you serve the Lord in spirit and truth, and when you love the Lord, you'll do as the Lord says. Now, does any of us get by in life without making mistakes? No, we don't, including me. I always like to preface it by saying that even the preacher can be wrong, and the preacher has been wrong. I include myself right with the rest of the congregation here. I can fall just like you can fall. And I have fallen, and I do fall from time to time. But I've learned to pick myself up and go back to the Lord and ask Him for forgiveness. The same thing that you ought to do. So I ask this morning, are you walking in the light, or are you still in darkness today? The ark supplied all Noah and his family's need. Look at Genesis chapter 6 around verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and I shall gather it to thee, and shall be for food for thee and for them. The ark had all that Noah and his family needed, and that's why he told him to take in all that he needed. Verse number 22 of that same verse says this: thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. He didn't question it. Lord, we sometimes say, Lord, I wonder why you want me to do it that way. My way seems better. You may not say that, But that's what you're saying when you don't do what the Lord tells you to do, how He tells us to do it. You're saying, my way is better than your way, Lord. But I got news for you this morning. There is no better way than God's way, than the Lord's way. There is no better way than the way of the Bible and the way of the Word of Jesus Christ. God told him to get all the food that is eaten by both he and the other people, as well as the animals. He was appointed to bring enough to feed them all. God, through Jesus, supplies all of our needs today as well, according to Philippians 4 and verse number 19. According to the Bible, God will supply all of our needs through Jesus Christ. The question for all of us today is this. Are you in the stages of making provisions that you and your family might find safety through Jesus Christ? We've got to get our family set up so not only, you know, when I talked about death a moment ago, if we as adults don't leave our kids something to look forward to, what will they have in life? Do you remember in Hezekiah how he was given time to get it? He was told to set his house in order. Setting your house in order doesn't mean just paying your bills and getting your finances right. It means getting your family right as well. Setting your house in order. The question for all of us today then, are you making those provisions? Do you take your family to church? The Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 1 there, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So the question this morning, have you brought your family with you this morning? Or have you left half of them at home in the bed still asleep? I ask the question this morning, are you making those provisions to get your kids up on Sunday morning? I remember in my father's house, and my father wasn't even a member of the Lord's church, and neither was I at that time, but certain Sunday mornings, not every Sunday morning, he got up and he woke that whole house up. And my father was an early riser. He got up around 4:30 or 5 o'clock every morning, especially Sunday morning. But he got up, and when he got up, he thought everybody in the house should be up. But on some Sunday mornings, he would say, we all going to church this morning. And whether we wanted to go or not, we were told what to do. We are going to church. And it was a Baptist church. I'll tell you what it was. And we all had to go and follow him. Now, he may not get that thrill on his mind again for 6 months. But when he got it, we all had to go. So I asked the question this morning, have you provided that your family may be able to follow you? Parents need to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord. If we don't instill Jesus in them early on the way, they may never find Him on their own. Just as Noah in our text was instructed to come thou and all their house in the safety and the shelter of the ark, Jesus is calling all of us today. He's still calling and inviting us today to come into Him, and He will give us rest. Come in and He will give us rest. He will satisfy all of our needs when we come to Him. Once we know Him, then we can understand who and what Jesus really means. Jesus is heaven's light for earth's darkness. He is heaven's fullness for earth's emptiness. He is heaven's mercy for earth's misery. He is heaven's salvation for earth's sin. He is heaven's love for earth's hate. He is heaven's joy for earth's sorrow. You know, you can't live on this earth without seeing some kind of sorrow in your life. When you see sorrow, and sometimes sorrow is so great that the only thing that you can do is go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord and ask Him to relieve some of what I'm going through. And I know that many of us have had sorrows in our lives. When you have sorrows in your life, sometimes the first thing we want to do when we have sorrows in our lives is to say, this is all right, I'm going to get through this by myself. But you can't always get through it by yourself. I've been through some trying times, and I've realized that Without my prayers and others' prayers to the Lord, I don't know what I would have done. I know that prayer works. It may not work as fast as we want it to work, but I can tell you it works. If you find yourself a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bring you closer to the throne of mercy and grace. It wasn't me that or you that woke yourself up this morning. It was God that prodded your eyelids to flip open and stay open for a while. And I found a kind of chuckle this morning in the Bible school lesson where the king didn't sleep, and I didn't sleep that well last night. And I thought and I said to myself, I don't know why I didn't sleep. Just like the Bible didn't give us the reason why King Assyria didn't sleep. But yet the Bible said he didn't sleep, and there are many nights when we go through not being able to sleep. But you know what? I used to find solace in getting up and doing something around the house, especially like reading the Bible. And I guarantee you that'll put you to sleep every time, because you know who doesn't want you to read the Bible. And he will get you so sleepy that you'll close up the Bible. But continue to read until you've read what thus saith the Lord and you feel enough to get down on your knees and ask the Lord if He would be kind enough to put you to sleep again. And I say unto you this morning, God knows best, and He always does. Brother Miles, would you do me a favor? Oh, Sister Martin. Oh, okay. Okay. All right, we just didn't want everything to be all right. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby men must be saved. So you can't save yourself. You've got to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that we might have this very opportunity to get to know Him. And I ask you this morning, don't you want your house to know Him? Don't you want you and your whole household to know Jesus Christ? The only place that was secured from the flood was the ark, according to Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 23, the Bible says, and every living sustenance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And listen to this in verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And we had a few months of rainy weather this year in the spring. It was rainy and we complained. But 150 days the water stayed upon the earth. And the water wasn't removed until guess when? When God declared that it should move. Only Noah and those who were with him were saved, and the ark remained. We don't know Jesus, and if we don't know Jesus, then we run the risk of not living in the everlasting, but living in torment and trouble and heat from the devil's fire. So I ask you this morning, when you look at it, Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, once again, the Bible says, in Matthew 11 and 28, let me get over there. In Matthew 11 and verse number 28, the Bible says, come unto me all ye that are labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul, rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to prepare your household, yourself as well as your household, to know Jesus Christ. You need to consider Jesus Christ in your life. You need to consider that Jesus is the only way and the only name by which we might be saved. Jesus Christ is the only one who can give us life after death. Jesus Christ is the only one who can make sure that we are saved. Jesus Christ is the only one that we can look to for our salvation. And I know one thing about it this morning. One thing I do know. Jesus is alive and well. He still answers prayer. He still hears what we ask of the Father. He still is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is still there waiting to hear from us. He is still there waiting for you to come into the church house on Sunday morning to be baptized and to become a part of Him. And you can't get into Him unless you are baptized. And if you walked astray, you've got to come back and walk straight up in order to be in Him. And when I think about how good God is, and I think about His goodness, His grace, and His mercy, I think sometimes to myself, Lord, why are You so good to me? Because I'm not always even good to myself. I abuse myself sometimes in different ways. I take things for granted sometimes, Lord. I ask the wrong questions sometimes, Lord. I have no right, Lord, to ask certain questions, but I ask them anyway. I ask of people certain things, and sometimes I expect them to give me an answer for which I know it's impossible for them to answer because they don't know the answers themselves. But when you're in trouble and when you're in sorrowful times, you ask questions of man sometimes. You look for man to solve your problem. Some people will say, I got enough money, I can solve any issue that may come up in my life. I'm not like that. I don't have enough money to think that I can solve any issue that comes up in my life. But I do know there's a man that the Bible speaks of that can solve all of my problems, all of your problems, all of your trials and tribulations. He can solve it all for you. All you got to do is go to Him. And I think the way that to start is to get yourself ready, get your family ready, and bring them all to the household of faith. Jesus went to Peter and He asked Peter, He said, whom do men say that I am in Matthew chapter 16? And Peter answered, some say you are this, some say you are Him. But He said, who do you say that I am? And He said, Thou art the Son of the living God. And upon that statement, the church of Christ came into existence. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build My church. And I don't can't tell you why the church is not full this morning. But all I do know is that you won't find any place like this place, around this place, except it be this place. The church of Christ is right. Every individual in the church is not right. From the pulpit to the back door, every individual is not right. And I'm not accusing anybody in the house this morning. I'm just simply saying that we all need to be better prepared to serve the Lord and to know His will. Come be in with all thy house into the ark, the Lord said. Jesus said, today we can still have that opportunity for safety if we but come to Him. How, preacher, do we come to Him? We come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And for those who have walked astray, we come back to the Lord. We ask the Lord for forgiveness, ask the church to pray for us, and come back to the Lord. You know, I'm reminded oftentimes of the prodigal son, how that he left home. But the greatest part of all is that he came back. He came back. He realized after falling on tough times that there's no place like the Lord. He realized that his father had everything and he was about to eat with the, he was eating with the pigs. So when you take yourself and you look at this story, this in God's Bible, you'll understand how we can bad luck or bad things can befall upon us. I take that word back, luck. No such word in the Bible as luck. But bad things can happen to us. You can be dining like a king one day and eating from the garbage the next day. But God has the ability to make a way that you don't have to. So I ask you all this morning, would you consider preparing and make preparations to come in all of thy house with you? Would you consider the Lord this morning? Would you consider being a member of His body? And if you're not already a member of His body, would you consider being recommitted to Him? If you are a member, but you walk the straight, would you recommit yourself to Him? I ask one other question this morning, and I ask this of everybody in the house, in the auditorium today. Do you love the Lord? Now, I don't want to ask for a show of hands because somebody may not raise their hand. But I simply say, do you love the Lord? And if you don't, you need to start loving the Lord. If you do, perhaps you need to strengthen your love toward Him. That was an awful tragedy when God flooded the earth with the waters of rain. And the earth had never seen rain before. But God brought something that the earth had never seen. And He wiped out all mankind. Any that were not in that ark were not saved. And the Bible teaches us that we must be in the Lord in order that we might be saved. So consider those things as you prepare to stand for the song of invitation.